in spiritual life, the devotees have spiritual experiences. Sometimes people take some chemicals and they also seem to have some experiences. So, is there any, how do we differentiate between the spiritual experiences and such chemically induced experiences? Yeah, our consciousness is spiritual. At the same time, the consciousness is rooted from the spiritual level, through the mental level, to the physical level. And this rooting of consciousness happens primarily through the brain. The soul is situated in the region of the heart, but the channel through which the consciousness spreads all over the body is through the brain. So now, when there are certain changes made in the channel, certain level of experiences can change. It's like if somebody is given local anesthesia, then that person becomes desensitized to the pain over there. The person is the same, the person's consciousness is the same, but their consciousness is not going to that area. So one is that by chemical alteration, the flow of consciousness to particular areas can be cut off. Or in general, it can be decreased all over the body also when painkillers are given. So we basically become somewhat desensitized. Not just to the pain, but to everything in general. When painkillers are given, the clarity of intelligence, clarity of consciousness is decreased. So, when the consciousness is going through the body, at that time, the change in the chemical composition of the body can alter the way the consciousness flows in the body. So, we may feel pain at one moment, afterwards we may not feel pain. That's an alteration of consciousness. Now, further, if we go to the level of the what are called psychedelic drugs. So, psyche is mind or thoughts, delic is changing. Psychedelic drugs are those drugs which are supposed to change the consciousness. So, when Srila Prabhupada went to America, then they would take this drug LSD. Now, LSD is an acronym for a chemical, but this LSD was propagated as having such spiritual property that that people had created a backronym out of it. Backronym means, you know, when you have already a word, then you shorten its acronym. But backronym means you do the process opposite. So they said LSD is actually League of Spiritual Discovery. So all those who take LSD, they join this League of Spiritual Discovery. That was the idea that they had. And there was the notion that we get different experiences by taking chemicals. And yes, people do get experiences. Why is that? Because whatever, when the consciousness is going through the body, changes in the body affect the expression of the consciousness. Changes in the body affect the expression of the consciousness. So there are two things. This is a little technical. There is chit and there is chitta. Chit, sat, chit, ananda. That is the consciousness as a faculty of the soul. And chitta is the consciousness that is embodied. So the soul, say the soul is here and the body is here. So chit is the consciousness as a faculty of the soul. Chitta is the consciousness that is entered into the body and that is manifested through the body. So Krishna says in 2.17 in the Bhagavad Gita that consciousness avinashitu tadviddhi ena sarvamidam tatam. There he indicates that consciousness comes from the soul. But then later in 13.7, 6 and 7, he says that chetana. Icchā dvesha sukham dukkham saṅghātas cetanā dhruti etat kṣetraṁ samāsena savikāraṁ udhāratam. He says that cetanā is a kṣetra vikār. It is a transformation of consciousness, transformation of kṣetra. Kṣetra means the body, matter. So now we may say, how can consciousness be a transformation of matter? Consciousness is spiritual. So how can consciousness be a transformation of matter? Here Krishna is not talking about consciousness per se. He's not talking about chitta. He's talking about chitta, the consciousness that is manifested in the body. So, I have different consciousness, you have different consciousness. And I myself have different consciousness at different times. Why is that? If as Atma I am the same, that is because the modes affect the subtle body, the gross body. And that's how the consciousness that is rooted in this will change. So, the original chitta cannot be accessed, cannot be altered by anything material. That has to be spiritually awakened. But the chitta, that is the consciousness that is rooted in the body, that that the experience that consciousness has can change based on whatever is the environment, whether it is a physical environment which we are seeing or whether it is the internal chemicals that are there. So for example, you know, we may be having one particular, we may not be say having any lust or greed or anger, or we see something and suddenly certain emotions come up. Now at one level, what has happened? It's simply something material has gone in, some material impressions have gone, they alter the consciousness. So just as for that matter, you know, if somebody eats too much sweets, that might trigger lust, that might trigger lethargy. What has happened over here? That is basically again certain chemicals going into the body, they don't affect chit, but chitta getting affected by material things is natural. So just as normal sensory impressions can alter chitta, can alter our consciousness, similarly chemicals which are directly injected into the body, they can also alter our consciousness. Now quite often what is perceived at that level is hallucinations. So people imagine certain things, and in some cases there is a physical realm, there is a mental realm, there is a spiritual realm. Now the mental level is also real, you know, because the mind is real and mental level of thoughts are also, mental level is a real level of reality, you could say. It is real. So there is Hare Krishna. What happened? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Switch it off. So at the mental level, a different kind of, when the consciousness, say when there are certain chemicals which are injected into the body, so in the consciousness, basically these chemicals, they have various effects, but one of the effects is that they to some extent decouple consciousness from the body. Normally a consciousness is coupled strongly to the body, but they decouple the consciousness from the body. And then the consciousness starts wandering at the mental level. And at the mental level, various things can happen. In the mind, there are many different impressions. Just as in a dream, we have various experiences. So like that, there can be experiences. And on a few occasions, there can be sort of communications. You know, there are disembodied beings. There are ghosts. Ghosts are what? That those who are, we have a body, we have mind, and we are ourselves souls. So normally, but the soul exists in this world, there is the mind and the body together. But in some cases, by some peculiar karma, the body may be destroyed, and normally this mind and the soul, they go to a next body. But in some cases, they may not go to a next body. And when that, they exist only at the level of the soul and the mind. So that is, they are called as disembodied beings. They don't have a physical body. So these ghosts and spirits, and there's a whole variety of beings at that level, they may communicate. Sometimes through this vision, some people may get some factual information also. That's possible. That's rare. But sometimes some people may say that I got some insights, something like that I got. So that's possible. But all this is at the mental level. It is not at the spiritual level. So because drugs can cause a decoupling of the consciousness from the body to some extent, and a consciousness may wander afloat at the mental level. So there can be various experiences. And one of the common notions, or we could say misconceptions, that is there in the world nowadays is that everything beyond the physical is equated with spiritual. So that means the mental and the spiritual is all considered spiritual. So in Western intellectual history, there was a duality called mind-matter duality. René Descartes was a famous philosopher. He said mind is different from matter. And you frequently equate the mind with the soul. So because of that, so whenever people have these mental experiences, they are equated with spiritual experiences or with spiritual visions. So people can have, by taking drugs, certain experiences out of the ordinary. And just because they are out of the ordinary does not mean that they are spiritual. Or most often, these experiences are not even really transformational. Some people may just feel, oh, there must be there's something beyond this world. But that kind of sustained transformation to a higher level of consciousness practically never happens. What happened is that there are many people who were not really interested in drugs per se. They did not want to take drugs for the pleasure of it. But they started taking the drugs because they thought they would get higher experiences. And they got some visions, but those visions are unreliable. But what is the reliable effect of taking drugs is the addictive effect. And after some time, people started taking drugs. They forgot the whole spiritual side of it, or supposedly spiritual side of it, and they ended up addicted. And that's why now that whole idea of psychedelic drugs that is not so much popular. That was in Prabhupada's time, in 60s and 70s, it was quite popular. But from that time onwards, because of that equalization of the spiritual with the mental and the mental phenomena coming from drugs, skeptics usually say that all such phenomena must be because of some brain disturbance. That means, you know, so this is a major attempt in modern psychology today, modern science, neurology. They try to reduce all experiences, including religious experiences, down to neurochemical phenomena. But the problem with this is, even if there is correlation and there is causality. It's a little technical answer, but the question was technical. See, correlation means, say, when I smile. When I'm happy, I smile. So, say, my smile is an expression of my happiness. So, there is a correlation between the happiness internally and the smile externally. But the smile is the result of the happiness. Isn't it? If you know, a person is habitually morose and say, you know, why don't you smile? Say, I don't feel like smiling. So if somebody could, in the future we could advance technology and we could get a face twisting machine. You know? Oh, smile. Now, would just having a face twisting machine that made everyone smile, would that mean they would all become happy? No. So, the smile or the happiness is the result, so smile rather, smile is the result of happiness. Smile is not the cause of happiness. Yes, sometimes if a person is glum, you know, cheer up. A little difference might happen. A little difference can happen. You know, somebody is always glum, smile, you'll feel a little better. But that cannot completely change a person's mood. So similarly, so this is the correlation between the physical and consciousness. A smile is the correlation between physical and consciousness. Now consider the same correlation between the brain and consciousness. See, when we are at the physical, when we are embodied, whatever we experience, there will be some physical component to it. Isn't it? Because we are at our consciousness currently at the physical level. So yes, when devotees remember God, there will be a particular part of the brain will be activated. No, it's not that the brain is going to be silent at that time when you are experiencing God. So that there is a physical component to a physical spiritual experience that is inevitable because currently we are in a physical body. But to equate the physical to reduce the spiritual experience to its physical component alone. That is like reducing smile to happiness. Reducing happiness to the smile. So just as when I am happy, a smile comes physically. Similarly, when I am happy, a certain kind of electrochemical activation of the brain will happen. And if somebody can try to activate that by some artificial means. So there was in the 1980s, when neuroscience was advancing, they said that by the 23rd century, 2000, you know, we will have all the emotions at your fingertips. That means, you know, we would have found out what makes people happy, what makes people enthusiastic, what makes people thoughtful. And you will have a control with buttons. What are emotions you want? Press the happiness button, you will feel happy. Press the thoughtfulness button, you will press thoughtful. Now that has not happened. There are antidepressant drugs and they do change the moods a little bit. That is like what? A person is glum, you tell him to smile, tell her to smile, they feel a little better. So like that antidepressant drugs, they are, by changing the effect, they seem to slightly change the cause. But it's very limited. Antidepressant drugs cannot completely cure depression. They cannot make a person completely happy. So, because the consciousness is expressed at the physical level, so there will be a change in physical, may change a little bit. But this change is not causal, it is correlational. It is not that the chemical changes in the brain are causing the emotion of happiness. Rather, when there is happiness, then there is a correlate over here. So, to conclude this, now consciousness is not reducible at all to just brain stimuli. So, for example, when a person is dreaming, so scientists can find out when a person is dreaming. They say that REM, rapid eye movement, is there, and certain kind of brain waves come out. So, scientists can find out when a person is dreaming. But no matter how advanced our probes, we will never be able to find out what that person is dreaming. To find that out, we'll have to wake that person and ask, what were you dreaming? That means there is a subjective experiential aspect of consciousness that is irreducible. And that indicates that consciousness itself is, at its core, irreducible. So, the idea of the atheistic or skeptical idea that all spiritual experiences are just brain chemical transformations, that comes from misconception that consciousness itself comes from the brain chemicals. So, rather than trying to specifically counter that spiritual experiences are not just chemical, neurochemical experiences, we have to turn the question around and ask, how can you explain consciousness in terms of matter? And on that, this is according to Science magazine, they have 125 questions which science has not answered. The first question is, where did the universe come from? Second question is, where does consciousness come from? So in mainstream science, there is no answer to this. So the irreducibility of consciousness also implies the irreducibility of authentically spiritual experience. Okay, as an answer question. So thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki, Tai Gaur Premanandaki.